Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Thanks for joining us on the program this week. My guest is Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. We should point out that today's show has been pre-recorded, so unfortunately we cannot take your phone calls this week. But we want to remind you that you can send emails at any time for any of our four mayors to our address, ask@wbaa.org. And you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Mr. Mayor, good day. How are you?
Stan, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, and appreciate you being flexible with the calendar. And thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in. Hope to take your calls live next month when I'm back on the program.
Well, I wanted to mention kind of why we had to pre-tape the show today. We mentioned a couple of months ago that you had suffered a severe burn to one of your arms, and we're taping the program because you're undergoing what is hopefully to be the final treatment for that. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct. Not a big deal at all, minor procedure, but we'll be a little groggy for the next couple days. So hopefully after tomorrow, this chapter of my life will be behind me. I'll have kind of a gnarly scar. Too bad, because I've already got a girl, so it's not like I can show that off. But really ready to have this chapter behind. And again, can't say enough about the people down at the Eskenazi Burn Unit. Fantastic team of care providers, and the scheduled treatment is going on as planned, and no reason to believe I won't make a 100% recovery.
I have to say, the idea of Chris McBarnes on painkillers doing the show was kind of funny to us when we talked about it. Not to make light of your injury, which was not funny at all, but you know, the idea of you who had lots of thoughts on this show anyway, but doing it under the influence of something fun could be interesting.
Well, hopefully, I'm a big believer that you try to stay off of those, and hopefully with the local anesthetic that won't be so much needed, but my body will need time to recoup and recover, and let's be honest, Stan, I can get a little wacky as is, so I don't think anyone wants that.
No talk show enhancing drugs needed, no.
No, sir.
I wanted to ask, though, has this injury at all played into your decision not to run for a third term in office?
It really hasn't. It's a well-known fact that I struggled with some immune situations growing up. Believe me, this is absolutely nothing in comparison to what I've been through in my life. I was a Riley kid growing up. I've been treated everywhere from Johns Hopkins to Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, to Riley Children's Hospital, undergone numerous incredibly serious procedures and operations. Thankfully, all of that is behind me now. Most of that I faced in my teenage years. But I got to tell you, if it weren't for those experiences in my life, I would not be the person I am today. Believe me, there's been several times, not when I've been mayor, but in growing up, when I was at Butler, when I was in high school, that I would be in the intensive care unit, when I literally did not know whether or not I would wake up tomorrow. And that's why I love getting out and talking to youth or anyone that's going through a trial and tribulation in our life, because we can look at those in two ways. We can look at them and we can become bitter, or we can become better. And thanks to the support group of my family, and my belief and the strong fundamental foundation in my life of my faith, I was able to get through all that and utilize that and those experiences as a way to become a stronger person, to learn to have a zest for each and every single day that I wake up, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. So rather than looking back at those experiences and becoming angry about them, I'm actually thankful for them, because if it wasn't for all that, I would not have met my wife. I wouldn't be mayor of my hometown. So believe me, this accident that happened last fall is a small blip on the radar screen. And if there's someone out there listening that's going through something more traumatic or going through a serious health situation, believe me, I've been there. Put it in God's hands. Lean on those who love you. There will be times you get down, but that's going to create a resiliency and a strength in you that no book can ever teach you, and that no person can ever take away from you, and will propel you to places in life that you never thought were even possible.
We talked on last month's program about what you might do after you leave this office, and you talked about the possibility of getting into a healthcare management situation or something like that. And just a moment ago, although we did it in sort of a joking way, you talked about how this this makes you take a look at the idea of painkillers and using painkilling drugs and things like that. So let me ask, how has this whole ordeal of the burn taken a page out of other places in your life and made you look at where you might go from here, if at all?
Well, I've seen the hospital gamut, the organization, from all different angles. There's no one that has seen it from the patient perspective more than myself and my family, and that's been a journey through the pediatric world and even into the adult world. I've been treated by some of the most renowned surgeons and hospitalists and therapeutic doctors, not only in the nation but globally. I've interacted with nurses. I've interacted with hospital staff from the bottom up. And one thing that I've realized is it takes a care team to provide healing in a patient. So it's not just the doctor. It's the nurses. It's the janitors that are interacting with you on a daily basis. It's the child life people at Riley who are taking your mind off of things. It's the tutors at Riley and hospitals that help you keep up with your hospital work. It's not just the white coats. They're incredibly important. And I think more than anything, I now have this zest and this zeal to get into hospital administration because I have now had executive experience over the past 7 years of my life. I know how to think critically. I know how to work through bureaucracy. I know how to plan when it comes to capital improvements and rebuild an organization when it comes to infrastructure. But I also know how to deal with people. I know how to manage people. And in someone's darkest hours, when the chips are down, when you don't know if there's going to be a tomorrow, I also know what that feels like, and I know what that family's going through. And so I really believe that my life experiences and the skill set that I've garnered from being a chief executive officer at such a young age, I feel like I could really be an asset to a healthcare organization, not only to advocate for doctors, for nurses, for care providers, but also for the patient, for the family, for the community. It's such a strategic piece of a community is the health of that community. So I feel like my skills, I can just check all of those boxes. Do I have a lot to learn? I know how to run a city, but I believe that I have transferable skills that can lend itself very well to running a hospital and doing it very effectively. And so that's what I'm looking at for the next step in my life. And, you know, hopefully someone will take a chance on a young person with passion, and I can continue to make a difference and help communities and help people just in a little bit different way.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're talking today with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. This show has been pre-recorded, so we cannot take your phone calls today, but you can email questions for any of our mayors at any time. ask@wbaa.org is the address for that. You can also tweet questions at WBAA News on Twitter. There were some interesting comments that were made at a recent debate between county commissioner candidates that I wanted to get your thoughts on. There was discussion of something you and I have talked frequently about in this program, whether there is money in the budget, and in this case, the county budget is what we're talking about, to help homeowners rehab their properties rather than those having to be torn down. So I wanted to ask you, if the county found a way to establish such a fund, do you think that would benefit Frankfort, even if none of the homes that benefited from that fund were within city limits?
I believe so. I believe a rising tide lifts all boats, and I think in order to grow our population, which we have finally now seen a small population increase in Clinton County that we haven't seen in years, if not decades. So although that's a minor amount of people right now, I believe between 70 and 75 people approximately our population in our county has grown. At least we're trending in the right direction. Many rural communities cannot say that. But what I will say is, a little bit selfishly here, I think Frankfurt has set the trend for this to occur. And I'll point to our SHARP program, our Senior Housing Assistance Repair Program. This is a program that we launched last year in conjunction with the Federal Home Loan Bank of Indianapolis. Our partner bank is the Farmers Bank, our community bank, My Bank for Life. And we helped a handful of clients in our city last year, senior citizens who needed some additional assistance to age in place, whether that be a new roof on their home, energy-efficient utilities in their home, an ADA-accessible restroom, shutters, windows, siding. You know, we were able to bring thousands of dollars back into our neighborhoods and help these individuals who had fallen on hard times, or maybe they're on a fixed income and all of their income goes towards, you know, buying that Lantus shot or paying for diabetic medications that they need to survive. So, you know, the city of Frankfurt, we've kind of led the way when it comes to programs like this. So what I would kind of expect is there's no need to recreate the wheel. And I would love it if Clinton County would look at the program we already have in place and perhaps spin off of that, and we could serve more people throughout Clinton County utilizing a program that we've already proven works very well. And we hope to build that program this year. Just this week, we put out a press release on our SHARP program for the year 2018. So encourage people to call up to my office or send us an email, and we will connect those individuals with our SHARP program manager. We'll sit down, talk you through that program, and figure out if it's right or not for you.
So do you think the county should limit its program to senior housing?
I wouldn't say that. I know the issues in Frankfurt, and I believe we have an aging population. Of course, we all know that the baby boomers are slowly getting to that point in time, and we want those people to be able to age in place rather than have to go to a retirement facility sooner in life. This also helps because it helps modernize those homes, and when it does come time for those individuals to move on to the next step, they have a modernized home that a younger family can walk into and not have to make so many updates or repairs to. So I would certainly encourage the county to look at a senior housing assistance repair program, much like the city of Frankfurt has put into place. But hey, if they have another idea of another program that could be implemented that would help an even wider gamut of individuals, I'd be all ears, and I would look at that and see if we could maybe perhaps mold that to broaden our efforts in Frankfurt. But I think we've started at a very good place.
There was also talk about whether the city could extend its utilities out to I-65. That's something that you and I have talked about on this program. You had said at one point that you hope to maybe annex a strip of land so that Frankfurt city limits were contiguous out to I-65. The candidates seem to see that as kind of a chicken and egg problem, whether more high-paying jobs are needed in the community first to justify a move like that, or whether those jobs would even come if there was no corridor with all of these utilities in it located there so that the jobs could spring up along it. You talk all the time here and elsewhere about wanting more high-paying jobs in your community and in the county. Do you think it's worth the city's time or effort on the utilities side if those buildings, those businesses, are not on your city's tax roll?
Well, here's what I can tell you. The state legislature has made it almost impossible for a city like Frankfurt to annex out to a corridor like I-65. I think there's been a couple of communities in our state that have annexed irresponsibly. They've annexed literally hundreds of thousands of acres of land that they will be hard-pressed to develop in my lifetime, let alone other young people as they grow in these communities. And I think you've had the state legislature has looked at these situations and have painted local communities with a broad brush and really tied our hands when it comes to annexation. That's why I had to pivot off my strategy and say, you know what? It's just not going to be realistic at this point in time with the way the state law sets as of now to annex out to the corridor. The reality is that the I-65 corridor at 28 and Interstate 65 is a very fertile ground for development. We have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people that go by that interchange every single day, and all they see is cornfields, all they see is soybean fields, and a spattering of businesses. And that's the way that Frankfort is represented. I would like for Frankfort to have a presence in that corridor, but the reality is state law has almost made that darn near impossible. What I can tell you Frankfort we're going to do now, what is in our control to set ourselves up for future development when we finally reach the corridor is we're going to expand our existing wastewater treatment plant. Without that, you know, no matter whether we put pipe in the ground or not, development at that interchange isn't going to be possible. Right now, we're sitting at approximately 4.2 million gallons of discharge annually at our wastewater treatment plant. We have a capacity of 4.5 million gallons. When we get heavy rainfall, we go above and beyond that. Thanks to our combined sewer overflow system, those waters do go into Prairie Creek and other tributaries, which isn't the most ideal thing, but we have been permitted for that CSO through the state of Indiana. So we are aggressively moving forward, and actually next week on April 25th, we're having an open summit. All public members of the public are invited to come out to the school superintendent's office, the community room, at 6 p.m. on April 25th to hear about the plans we have to extend our wastewater treatment plant from 4.5 million gallons to 9 million gallons. This is an investment that must be made, plain and simple. If we do not do this, Frankfort will not be open for business. It really is that simple. If we want the Chamber of Commerce to continue to have the ability to bring in industry into our industrial park, to attract new subdevelopments to come to our community, whether that be inside the corporate city limits or outside of the corporate city limits in our utility service territory, that has to be done. I am taking the stance, and I will not waver from this stance. If the county wants to put water and sewer out to the interstate from our city limits, that's fine. I support that. We're going to be prepared to handle any discharge or output that they may need or bring back to us thanks to any development at that corridor. But I will not support our ratepayers in the city of Frankfort funding putting pipe in the ground from our city limits to that corridor. Because the county will be the one to benefit from those property taxes, whether it be real property tax or personal property tax. If they do get development out there, those individuals will pay the 125% surcharge for being outside of the city limits. But what we're going to do, we're going to expand that wastewater treatment plant, Stan, because there's plenty of territory within our corporate boundaries right now to bring that next Frito-Lay, to bring that next manufacturing plant, to bring that next subdivision, and it would be irresponsible for us not to expand that plant. And I try to put it into context this way. If we do not do this, we will not be able to increase our assessed valuation in this community. If we do not increase our assessed valuation in this community, then our property taxes will continue to go up because putting a police officer on the ground or buying a new fire truck or replacing a piece of playground equipment, all of those costs are going to inflate over time.
I imagine you're probably going to get some resistance from some of the more fiscal conservatives around you who say, well, Mr. Mayor, trying to double the amount of capacity in the wastewater treatment plant, that's probably going to cost a pretty penny.
I can tell you that right now, per 5,000 gallons of discharge in the city of Frankfort, an individual would pay somewhere in the neighborhood of $30.32. I have put those facts out on Facebook and my State of the City address. You go right down the street to Lebanon, you pay an incredibly amount more of funds. You go up the road to West Lafayette or Lafayette, you're paying a hefty price there as well. Our rates are incredibly competitive, much, much lower even than that of those in the little town of Colfax, or Mulberry, or Michigantown, for example. We're one of the cheapest wastewater rates around, and what I'm saying is we can expand this plant still keep ourselves well below what our surrounding competitors are charging individuals for wastewater output, while at the same time building a community that is open for business, that can attract more private investment. And the more private investment we attract, the higher we drive up our assessed valuation. The higher we drive up our assessed valuation, the lower the amount of our tax rate's going to be, which means the lower amount of taxes that will go out from the individual property taxpayer. So this is very much thinking about the long term. We can't be short-sighted when it comes to this. And the reality of it is, our wastewater treatment plant's at capacity. So if we don't want our community to grow, if we all want to continue to pay more and more taxes, let's leave things the way they are. We're saying let's not follow that philosophy. Let's create an atmosphere that's open for business, that's going to drive AV up and drive tax rates down. And that's what we want to accomplish.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We've got a few more minutes with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes on today's program. We have been pre-recording this program, though, so if you're hearing us, that means we cannot take your phone calls. We can take emails at any time, though. Ask@WBAA.org is the address for that. And a couple more things that were talked about in that debate. One of the candidates suggested opening a local opioid treatment center there in Clinton County. I would say it's fairly likely that would have to be in your community if it happened, because the talk around all of these things is you want to try and put them near population centers so that people can access them. Would you be for such a move?
Absolutely, and we've already supported it. I'll never forget when Anissa Brown, close to 5 years ago, came into my office and said, "Mayor, I want to open a facility for women who are battling addiction." And now Anissa has a wonderful facility that's open on West Clinton Street in our community called the Way Out Sober Living Home. Now, that is specifically for women. This upcoming week, along with our Chief of Police, Troy Bacon, and our Sheriff, Jeff Ward, we're going to be attending a program on the JCAP program, which basically opens up a program that helps those who are addicted to chemicals in our jails. So if someone is incarcerated, they've hit that rock bottom in their life, they want to change, we want to make sure that they have the opportunity to be surrounded by individuals in that situation that, number one, want to get clean, and then, number two, we're providing them with the tools necessary to change their life. I know the Attorney General's office is offering some pretty fruitful grants when it comes to this. So Sheriff Ward and I, along with Chief Bacon, are going to this to seeing what kind of funding opportunities are out there to start a JCAP program in our local jail. Obviously, that final determination will be made by the sheriff in the county. That's his jail to run, and I very much respect that. And then in my State of the City address, I made it very pronounced that I am willing in next year's budget to dedicate a portion of funds specifically for helping individuals that want to get over addiction in their life, providing resources for them to do that. So yes, I stand behind it. I think it's an issue. You can't police or arrest your way out of that situation. We have to have enforcement. We have to have prevention, and then we also have to have treatment. And I think we're attempting to come up with a plan now to battle that on all three fronts.
It seems that you guys are having a similar discussion in that community as what's going on here in Tippecanoe County, particularly a discussion that's going on in our county sheriff's race, where one of the candidates here says he wants to jail people first for drug offenses and then treat them while they are in prison. What do you think of that solution, especially in an age of county jail overcrowding that affects the vast majority of Indiana counties?
Yeah, I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all. I think there are some individuals that works. They've hit rock bottom, and that's the situation for them. There might be another subsect of people that maybe they've been prescribed opiates or benzodiazepams over a course of their life, and finally they just want out of that. And they haven't reached the point yet of doing anything illegal, but they're fearful that their addiction could lead there. So, you know, I think we've got to have a way to combat both situations. And I don't think this is a one-size-fit-all situation. I'm also a big believer that we've got to be targeting those middle school-aged individuals. You know, the middle school-aged individuals are so vulnerable, especially with social media now, everything they can tap into online. I'm a big believer in getting our officers in our schools, interacting with our kids, and building positive relationships. And that's a big reason why we put a school resource officer full-time in Frankfort's budget for this year, and we're looking at building a new police station stand, and one element of that police station that I would like to see is very much a community policing aspect. So not only having a state-of-the-art building, but surrounding that building with, say, a soccer field or a basketball court or sledding hills. I want our police station to be a safe haven for children from across Frankfort to come, interact with our police officers, shoot some hoops, interact with our canines, so we can start building a positive relationship between our officers and our youth, so they're not just looking at them in a negative light, but looking to them as role models in our community, people that will help them out of those situations that could eventually lead to a life of drugs and crime.
While we're on the subject of drugs and your police force, your city's police now has two detectives on a dedicated drug crime investigation unit. Do you think that's enough manpower for what we've talked in this program is a serious problem, not just in your community, but elsewhere?
Stan, it's never going to be enough. It's never going to. I mean, we could have 30 narcotic detectives, and I think we could have more. The important thing to look at is this is the first time in Frankfort's history that I know of that we have two dedicated narcotics officers. We have two dedicated narcotics canine units. We've established a crime and drug tip line. We've sent officers and detectives to drug surveillance and interdiction schools. We've developed an overdose investigation protocol. And what you alluded to, we've established the Clinton County Drug Task Force by partnering with the Clinton County Sheriff's Office. So is it ever going to be enough? I don't think I can say truthfully that it's going to be, because drugs is such a big issue in our society, but I think we've taken steps, the aforementioned steps, that we are getting to a point in time that we can tell our community members that we're utilizing the resources we have, we're putting our money where our mouth is, we're working hand-in-hand with our city council, we're getting support from them to throw resources and dollars and manpower to this issue that's completely devastating our society.
What does the creation of this unit mean for other officers on the force who you mentioned are now working longer shifts?
Well, we do have 12-hour shifts, and what that means is, and it's great that we went to the 12-hour shifts, because before, when we were running 8-hour shifts, you had two or three officers running at any given point in time, and then you may have had to pull a detective off to do criminal work when they should have been focusing solely on narcotics work. By having 12-hour shifts, we've created more efficiency. Now we have up to 5 to 6 officers on the street at any given point in time, which really frees up our narcotics detectives to focus just on that, those tough-to-solve narcotics cases sitting on homes. You don't want to be a drug dealer in Frankfort right now. It's very interesting. I was having a conversation with one of our narcotics detectives. They were telling me they can't even set up sting operations in our city because those dealers don't even want to come to Frankfort anymore. We have to meet them out on the interstate. That's something I like to hear. We're striking a fear in their hearts, and guess what? We're going to keep it up.
All right. Well, Mr. Mayor, thanks as always for your time. Our best wishes that your medical procedure goes well, and we'll talk to you in full health next month.
Thanks, and I'll see you then.
This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Remember that you can send questions at any time to any of our four mayors. Ask@WBAA.org is the address. And you can find all these shows archived at our website, WBAA.org. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.